visual thing. I just wanted to introduce the Wyvern, because it was 500 years ago, and I bought 500, and there was all this beautiful mind music, and it was doo-doo-doo-doo, and then it was like 500 years, 500 parallel things. And so I made a picture for everyone. I just want to hand it out, and it's a Wyvern Dragon. It's like a birthday card. So there's loads of copies for everyone. It's the original drawing. There we go. There you go, in a nice floating frame. There we go. So thanks. I just want to say thanks. This Poetry Night is just, I didn't want to put it into words, like, because it, you know. Okay, so thank you.
There you go, that's what rock stars do, they do things you don't expect. So if anybody... Thanks, Alexis. And there are a few more left, so if anybody doesn't have one and would want one, just let me know and I'll get it to you. Next on the open mic is Dara Nolan. Do we have a Dara Nolan? I'll come back to him. Next up is Dermot Christophers. We don't have Dermot Christophers either, so we move on. I'll come back to him. Marcel Cronier. That's you, Marcel? Yeah. Woo!
So it's a very short one. In fact, it's an inscription for a book called Cupid. And it is for my lovely beloved partner who is to stay in Berlin. It's a love poem, love. It's called To My Eve. And I know feminists won't like it, but a little romance doesn't hurt anyone. So, to my Eve. Once the Lord had chosen me to dress and care for paradise, you followed with a cup of tea to care for me as gentle eyes.
Thanks, Marcel, if you're collecting telephone numbers on the way out, I'd say. And maybe one of them will be from Molly Toomey, who's next.
Making you lean. Nutella, an American chocolate spread, used when desired on digestive biscuits, freshly baked bread. What if food is just energy to twirl in sunsets, sing along to old cassettes, kiss boys with no regrets?
Thank you, Molly. Is Darren Owen in the room now?
Yeah, it's good. How's it going? I'm Darren Owen. This is about poets. So, all the poets in the room, listen up. Take a notebook with you everywhere. Who knows when inspiration will strike? That's the advice. What can I say? Simple enough, right? Right, but it's not quite right, and let me tell you why. Because when inspiration strikes, and I mean really strikes, who the fuck is going to sit down and write? If you can do that, fair enough, I'm psyched, but for anything worth saying, it comes not from my pen, but from 2020 hindsight. It comes from the moments between Firefly, and it comes from here. It comes from someone near and dear, being scared to death and petrified with fear. After those existential fuck-up moments when you're left here, when you feel like bursting or ending all right there, and if you can bust out a pen and paper, push emotion aside, but more power, I salute you. You're dead inside. More to the point, I want to embrace life for all its beautiful misery, not to capture it, to torture it, to suck the life out, to force it to be with me. So if you have another minute, let me tell you my philosophy. If you want to write every moment of your life, that's fine by me, but it's only part of a larger reality. You see, experience is energy. Let it charge you and fill you with vitality. Then and only then is that notebook worth shit to you, because my friend, you gotta do what you gotta do. You need to look around and be in the moment. Only then can you look back and gently hold it warmly, wrap it up in pages and give it to me in verse and stages that I can believe in and say, now, holy shit, that was outrageous. Be with the one you love and really be there. Take a look around and look really fucking hard to see what there is to see there, because, well, not because I told you to, but because it's worth a look. And I'm not gonna lie, sometimes, yeah, life is gonna suck, but that's the stuff that's behind all the best books. Don't be the cage that traps moments screaming and kicking inside a page. Be the embrace that sets life free in a crescendo of epiphany. Do all this, but do it not for me. Do it for yourselves, and I think you'll agree. It's a ride to be alive. And here's my plea. Just put down the fucking notebook and come live life with me. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. You might have given me the notebook. I'm trying to keep track of it. Is Dermot Christopher's in the room now?
Hello. I'm really not used to microphones. Okay. This is called This Is Not a Love Poem.
Yeah!
Super ironic. Okay. So, I was smoking a rollie just there, and a bit of skin paper was sticking out from the edge of my cigarette. And it was annoying because it was deceiving me into thinking there was more of my cigarette than there actually was. And I don't know if it stands my poor rolling skills or if it says something about me as a person, but as a poet, I obviously had to turn the cigarette into a metaphor. So I began to think about you. And about how our relationship seems to only be hanging on by a bit of ashford and cigarette paper. Regardless of whether I try to let it fall free, it clings and it holds and won't leave me alone. And recently I realised I can't think about myself without my relation to you. How you are a part of me, I have to wander through to get to me, and I'm sick to death of writing love poems. But this is all I seem capable of writing, as my mind reflects your image in each page, and all my surroundings manifesting from your face to your words, and that bit of cigarette paper became the three words that I said that were not returned. Its refusal to let go was symbolic of how I keep losing myself and other people, and inevitably build these other people into godlike figures, so I can't see me for the light of you, or consider my thoughts without considering you too. I try to rebuild myself in our shared vocabulary of how you also deal with the world by putting on a brave smile, or how you talk in steady monotone, taking control of the little things that you own. But I think I've always enjoyed losing control, and this game of hide and seek feeds into my need to have someone else decide the rules, the foreplay. I can't dream anymore without wondering what you would dream about first. I can't initiate sex unless I recognize you have the same taste. I can't be happy unless I know you're happy too. It is more than a bit fucked up when your body ceases to belong to you. So you begin to wonder if there is separation, what exactly will be left? Would I still feed off stale moments of you? Become a feral creature that's created a narrative out of what gone of love can do. I could barely kneel for the shard of skin paper, fragmenting my little piece of pleasure so blatantly in the way that I didn't stop to question ourselves when I tore the empty paper off and let the wind carry it away, and now my fingertips are burnt. This reminder of hers reminds me of my reminders to see and to be and to feel without distilling myself through you. This game of hide and seek ended when I found my body curled in the fetal position. I wondered absently what that person might think. But it was only a cigarette. And this is not a love phone.
That's how you do it. You say, this is a love poem, and you finish the poem with a line that says, this is not a love poem. Good man, David. Right, we're back on track. Benjamin Burns, the reigning All-Ireland poetry champion. Thank you, sir. This one is called Body Paint. Having no skill with a brush, I open up my voice box and apply these words with soft lips and a sharpened tongue. Nettles to tickle and sting your lower abdomen. A colored dove set cooing in the red nest of your hair. Black slate fingernails, wings torn off a dead gannet, shoulders round mountains lost in mist, an ocean that heaves to the rhythm of your breathing. The jagged chop of waves that crash against exposed ribs in blasts of spray and foam. Seashells swirling into points of sonic promiscuity. The blue horizon line peeled like a sticker from the sky, cut in half and wrapped around black pupils. The pool of your mouth populated with little fish, anemones and shrimp, muscles clinging to your teeth. The pink flush of your cheeks stained purple with the juice of overripe blackberries. Brambles drawn down your back, scratches that follow the lines of the muscle. Earth and root and rock, displaced cross-sections hidden beneath the surface, gristle. Within each atom, the silvery suggestion of stars too distant to be seen. A coat of death at the end of the night to take you home and take you to bed, split back into the seed and the egg. This language, being no tattoo, will leave no permanent mark. Body paint, transient as white beams of moonlight, fuchsia scattered in the dark. Thanks, Bob. We have 46 minutes left and 19 poets, so I'm just asking you to please keep it short. If you have a short one, do that rather than the longer one. Rowan Coulter is next.
When I was a kid, my dad would always say to me, the only thing you need to do to make me love you is just breathe. Now, being 6 years old, I thought it was like a switch, you know. I'd breathe, he'd love me. I'd stop, he'd stop. I'd start again, and our hearts would reconnect. Even a million miles away, our hearts would always reconnect. But the first few months he was gone to France, Papua New Guinea, Peru, always a little longer, always a little further, I would lie in bed at night and hold my breath for as long as I possibly could, just to see if he'd notice. Because that's how it works, right? Like, I breathe, he loves me, I stop, he stops. But how was I supposed to know that he'd stopped well before I did.
Thank you all, and I'm sure there's lots of people in the world who take a bit of daddy issues for, and that was as short as that. Most of them are fucking novels, anyway. Owen Crowley.
Sydney Willie B. Yeats. Nora Coolishe got Boichi and Douche Nobel Prize. Douche came in. Nora Coolishe got a field card again, a Dalkan boss, Venus Fastnook, be a creepyster. Nora Boole and Colleen Og. Mara Bakanji, City Vinny, the Shroid, Dur Daher, Olin Huig Duf, that old blue shirt. City Vinny, the AIDS. When he heard that he had won the Nobel Prize, he said, "How much?" When he heard that his great Irish friends were going to be put to death by the English, his heart was broken. When the young girl, Mara Bakanji, met Sidney Willie on the street, her father from the Black North said, "That old blue shirt, Sinead."
Thanks, Owen. Patricia Walsh.
The small toast is a bone. Take one biscuit from the barrel. Size in a reticule, retrieve paws. Modeling sizzles on the hoof. Princess in jacket armor, size things up. A film star's reference days on the road. Rebel and ruler was none but you. Dizzy heights clinging to your beloved. Fulfilling a promise, eventually soar. Pesticidal aptitudes follow theft. Theories and heartfelt situations unfold. Intimate lies in a course of coffee. Devil makes three in a holy rule. Writing for survival, queen of the walk. Under the gable of a rotten dawn. Firming up an autobiography, waiting sin. A bunch of thyme of a perpetual drunkard. One life is not enough for me, riches aside, hiding away from the jokes that I am. Mercifully, this too shall pass. Scaling home, an informer's revenge settles matters. The illicit biscuit hidden from flour, and a summer exit to a sympathetic state. A world finally realized, breaking rank. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patricia. Ed O'Gorman is next. Ed. Hey guys.
Just so you know, this poem isn't too long, but at the same time, I want to say thank you to everybody who has done the poem tonight. It's been epic to hear, and you know, I am appreciative that I got to listen to you. So thank you. My poem is called Dying Imagery. I stand along the river path, I paint the waves to pass. I focus on the reflections I see of the sky tainted by mass. The smoke arises in the distance and darkens out the sky, a mass producing in the street that brings sorrow to my eyes. I watch as people cross the bridge with hopes of a better life, not realizing the air they breathe may be the reason they die. I wipe my face with my hand and cough into my palm. A scarlet fluid retches forth as paint shoots through my hand. I paint the detail as best I could before I walk away and think how beautiful that river was as I dive into the sea.
And so, Laura Mulcahy is next.
My tale's called In Response to Him. Him, the man my godfather warns me about, the one who will pry my legs apart and spill blood onto my bedsheets, the rough romp finished in minutes. My godfather asked politely to take his title when I was newly bundled in plush blankets, is unaware of how much has changed since then. Him, the man who smirks at me as if I had said something funny or misheard due to the amplified music, the singer's words rupturing our eardrums, his eyes droop with drunkenness, the corner of his mouth upturned, confident that he has snatched my heart. I yell the truth he won't remember. Him, the man my mother asks me about as I settle myself into the seat of her new car. Her tone is casual, but interlaced with hope. She wants to meet this man she has conjured for me, a pixelated face in her mind which only I can uncover. My response is casual, but interlaced with hope that she will surely destroy this faceless man. Him, the man that has surely captured my heart, as my mouth unknowingly curves into a smile, my attention drifting away from the world around me. Even strangers can tell as I frantically pick up my phone, praying that I will not be grounded with a blank screen. They wonder about this man on the other side of the screen, and what must be so endearing about him. Her, the actual person that has captured my heart, does not fit the fantasies that everyone has conjured for me. Her face is obstructed by my view from all these men, some soft, some kind, others rough and unforgiving. My confession is I do not care for any of them. The truth is shoved underneath everyone's assumptions, but I'm undeniably drawn to the hidden girl.
Thanks, Laura. Aaron Lewis?
Feels like I'm at a Justin Bieber concert. I just arrived at Portby spontaneously tonight, but I was very lucky to get the first one in 2007. So I have a poem, and I'll start it. I'll start reading it from my mind, and if I get lost, I can refer to my phone. So, love, the deepest expression of our soul's song. The heart aligns herself with the deeper truth. We move ever deeper into the moment. As we give thanks for the lives we live, the universe cradles us in silken fabrics. We move barefoot in the dark forests, the flow of dreams ever guiding us home. I lie here on a bed of rose petals, ever giving thanks for love's power. I'm gonna move on to my... As we give thanks for the lives we live, the universe cradles us in silken fabrics. We walk barefoot in the dark forests, the flow of dreams ever guiding us home. I lie here on a bed of rose petals, ever giving thanks for love's power. It will bring tears to men of strength. As we attune ourselves to love's cosmic vibration, our souls become one. Thank you.
And you, Aaron, and you were at the very first over. There's not many of those around, is there?
I was 23 then.
23. Okay, so you're up 26 now?
Yeah.
Philip Stallone.
Yeah,
thanks. So I wrote this on my way home to Cork when I was in Portugal. And I was extremely, extremely tired. And I was on the bus, and the bus journey was really long. And I looked at the window, and there was the moon. And I swear, it's like another poem about the moon. The moon's my best friend. And this is another poem about the moon that night. Traveling. Time feels like a long, silent spirit that it decides to extend. And wasted moments I am witnessing. How within this long wait, there's a beauty there behind the glass. And I'm merely pressed up against it, as it's packed with other dormant, similar silent intellects. It's a crystal slice of the moon, with its transparent brother that floats twin-like on the screen of the window. And a star is there too, a little freckled floor islanded off the moon. Orange citrus fumes border between the homeland and the sky. As I am reminded, let my mind see what I see and find it beautiful while also tired, it would only be you. I try to slumber to make sure time passes without me knowing. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. We're actually doing really well for time, so if we can just stay on track, it'll be super, super. We're back to the rock stars, those people only have one name, Louisa.
But basically, English isn't my first language, but Croatian is. And I moved from Croatia in like August for college. And the event of this poem happened in like October, something like that. And a friend of mine called me fucking drunk at like 3 a.m. on a Saturday night. And I was like, fun times. So I wrote a poem because I wanted to vent. And this is the poem. It's called The Phone Call at 3 a.m. You called me on the phone in the middle of the night, drunk and crying, screaming at the world around you, begging me to come back, saying you had no one to turn to, saying I was the only one you could open up to, but I wasn't there and I can't come back. And even though I was a million miles away, I wrapped my hands around your voice, trying to go for the pain that was your head. And it wasn't fair to neither of us. It wasn't fair that you were begging me in tears to come back when you know I can't. And it wasn't fair that you were begging me to come back and I couldn't be there. And it wasn't fair that you told me how suicide crossed your mind numerous times and then denied the fact that you needed help the very next day when your sober mind couldn't deal with the fact that it wasn't okay. How can it be okay when you are surrounded by people who do not understand what it's like to feel captivated by your own mind? How the darkness can constantly be there at the back of your head waiting when it can strike again? When you are in your most vulnerable state, when you feel completely naked but are fully clothed, when you think that you are finally okay, and then it captures you, not wanting to let go. It clings on you like a parasite, desperate for air. And in the end, you're the one unable to breathe. It clings on you and squeezes what little life was left in you. And then it finally decides to let go. And you think that it is finally done by now. But as every other sadistic master, it only gives you enough time to catch your breath until you can be its slave again. Until you're on the floor with pain in your chest and razor blades in your hands, contemplating whether or not to end it all. Do you not realize why it wasn't fair to neither one of us? Because I understand. And because I understand, it broke me that I couldn't physically be there to wrap my arms around you. Because I know what it's like to fall apart in the middle of the night, surrounded by people who didn't understand, but just know that I am a phone call away, ready to tell you that everything's going to be okay, to show you that the world isn't that gray, but full of wonder and color. And I just want you to know that there is more to life than you can imagine. But the only way to find out is to keep going. And if you're ever scared and shaking and crying and screaming at the sky for being so unfair, just know that I am a phone call away, ready to tell you that everything's going to be okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Or else we're going to vent him in here, as long as we keep it short, we get over here for 12 o'clock. Aaron Blake, Aaron Blake.
This is called The Keys. And as the bar door swings closed behind you, the rumbling jungle bass was replaced by the whoosh of a number 8. You walk, beating the street like it's done you wrong, taking big strides, boot boy strides. It's the kind of place you have to throw a little extra in your step. The kind of place that if it notices a falter, the cobblestone itself will open up and swallow you, screaming, "Who the fuck do you think you are? From the summer, do you want a little bit too far? Look you on your face at all." The buildings nearly stare back, breathing in hot red lungs excitement, scary excitement. And your mother bleeds, and your mother pleads, stick to the main streets, because nothing happens there. You wouldn't know who you'd meet. But still, I beat that angry street, nowhere near Pana are my feet, because nothing happens there. Thanks. Thanks, Ella. Queen Donnelly.
When I was younger, I thought that we never had enough shampoo in my house. Always only too much conditioner. Always too much silk, but not enough scrub. Always felt smooth, but never quite clean. I promised myself, when I am older, I will buy 2 bottles of shampoo every week. I will live on my own, and my hair will always be clean, and no one will be able to take that away from me. I will have so much when I am grown and alone and free. It's funny, isn't it? The things we think matter as children. How we blame others for the problems we create ourselves. The sheer potency of the anger we feel for the great lacking of our desires. When all along, it's really us who used up all the shampoo in the first place. Cheers.
Yeah, we take your shampoo issues anyway, please. Tom Hayes, isn't it?
Do you remember the first one who prized open your legs? The first scratches on your flesh from a fight you could not win? The first handshake to be twisted into a sign of your submission? The first time you awoke with the taste of him in your mouth? Do you remember? The first time the name sweetheart became a gun to your head? The first time your uncle leered at you with his, "You're a woman now, love." The first priest to avert his eyes, shameful at the length of your skirt. The first warning from mother never to walk the streets of Dublin alone. Do you remember? The first seeds to germinate in non-consenting fields. The first swell of your stomach with a life besides your own. The first voyage beyond the sea to become an anonymous statistic for your sins. The first time holy water became acid on your flesh. Do you remember? Or have you, like so many of us, lost count of these early injustices? From birth till death, ashes to catcalls, rape kits to dust. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Behind you, we've got a couple of forms of some attitude, and wasn't it? Kira is next. I think it's Chloe.
Open. Quietly she creeps in, unaware, unassuming, unafraid. Shadows flicker, a teapot, a clock, a candle, swaying, almost dancing to the melody of her beat. her heartbeat. A single flower illuminates the room, delicate yet thorny, almost wishing to be free. She hears the roars that echo through the house, the whispers from the village, a creature living within. Shadows from the darkness appear. The beast looms, gentle, yet afraid, hoping she won't come near. Thank you.
Thanks, Kira. Can you feel that cool?
Have you ever woken up thinking about the wrong person? Every syllable of their name itching at your lips. Dizzy from night of them padding through your dreams after falling asleep wishing they were next to you. Bewildered until you shake your sleepy head and remind yourself you're not supposed to feel anything for them.
Thanks, Nicola. Ali Driscoll?
I've lived here dead for decades. Now you unearth our man-made, overgrown, damp resting cots, trying to connect dots. 800 unblessed souls, and someone knows of other holes where children sleep, catching flies in their mouths without lullabies. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mommy can't buy you a mockingbird. The blankets and coos buried deep, smuggled here by God's own sheep. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned, but bless you, Father, for you have been children. Fetus to 2 years old, mass graves swaddled them cold. Left 60 years since birth, until ripped from the earth like womb, the secrets unfurl. Skull fragment is a little girl. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. We have four poems left. Next up is the Choke Collective.
Dirty air that fills their lungs. Smell the greed and smell the hate. It's well of died, perhaps it's fate. Who paled my skin? Am I too late? Oh God, please grant me a clean slate. We stupid white men, we are wealthy. We could have left alone and you'd be just fine. Be plundered, shot, and maybe it's not healthy to hate one's race just as I hate mine. The mind said once that a man will never prosper if he will stop at nothing to succeed. Mother will have her way, you can't stop her. I wonder if they even bleed.
Katie McCory or McCary or McCarthy, Katie McCary.
This is called St. Pat's. The ward is empty now, lit only by the nurse's station, an eerily glowing oasis in a sea of insanity. Today, Jacqueline forgot my name. Her eyes bloodshot, they fried her brain. I introduced myself the same, preparing myself for when they do it again. Aisling's telling the story and all are enthralled, some urban myth and she swears she was involved. I just like hearing her talk and listening to her laughter bouncing off the walls. Last night, Sarah escaped once more and tried to find comfort on some dingy pub floor. She found only pain and merciless fear. It took a couple of guards to bring her back here. Jamie got a day pass. His daughter turned 3. I didn't think he'd come back if he ever got to be free. But he came back all the same, same blank blinking eyes and drug-addled brain. Grania's so sullen as she stabs at her fish and moves food around on every dish and gags at the thought of another 4 to sip, 17 days without food, and damn proud of it. This is a shout out to those for whom the battle was lost, whose demons went out at an ultimate cost. To those old men in slippers and fog, to the new mothers unable to give the love that they want, to all the youths who've been told you're already too far gone, and to all the poor souls trapped in there too long. Of sorrow and joy those walls are comprised, they never look back or be institutionalized. As it
And I'm sure all those old men covered in slippers and fog would please appreciate the sentiment. Adam Laura is up and welcome to the back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, not that's all. We walk down the pier, under my arm a box of soggy cans. The brand need not be named. Into the village. Shameful. We look up at the Black Castle and he turns to me and says, in a poetic voice, the hilltop is shrouded in cults. For once, getting something shite in the depths of Wicklow Heights, and to be blunt, it was a futile stunt, but in fairness, I don't do it because it's right. Or do I? I'm going to puke up my ring, to be honest. Because I have a different way of coping with things. That old lad says he's seen the war. Which one's he even on about? He sees a crop top crossing the floor and says, if she had brains, I would ride them out. True story.
More than once.
And all about, these louts say things that don't mean much, whereas you need a crutch to say as much as what's up to me. You're always talking, but you've got no words for me. The one you kissed so hard in the brewdog corner.
You left me fuzzy-lipped with your cotton kiss and said I taste like sparkling water. You never put the I in I love you though, so I think I'll give this one a miss. You left nothing but brick dust, and just so you know, there's no such thing as a platonic French kiss. We're getting on for once, and I don't stop dancing until the taxi comes. Don't let it fade. You left then, and I would go back to the bar. I wonder why you got a taxi when your mate has a car, and it hits me that you're going to see her. Her, of all people. Cheaper than Dublin bus and twice as dirty. Empty as a midnight hour. She thinks she's in the deep end, but she paddles the shallows. She's your best fake friend, vibrant and hollow. At least I text you. At least I care, and I don't forget you as soon as you're not there. You're just her gay brunette accessory. Only present when it's convenient, because she is a hollow point bullet. A black dragon rose, her affection is the type that echoes. 3 more days and after that, God knows where she'll be. But she'll hold you close until she takes it on the nose and implodes into nothing. And you'll be left waiting. And man, I thought we both copped on from the very start. Save yourself the splinters and stop holding her hard. Thank you.
Yeah, as soon as we're still, somebody needs to email Dublin Bus and Town. That's Adam's personal opinion and not the general consensus. Our last poet of the night is Jack Hessian.
No, that's right. To anyone else who's here for the first time, I feel like I've stumbled upon something that's kind of momentous, and it's a real antidote to cynicism. So, the rain trumpeting on pavement. We felt it coursing down our backs, cold and welling through our sleeves and our wanderings toward higher ground. I was so shaken. The seagulls and their swarming over houses, chasing cats. There, and writhing open, massive like an iris, I knew but barely understood that some of us were drowning. That behind my head were waters rising over door frames, swallowing our town, and nothing further down. Escape was only ever upward. To my right and to my left, they smelled like earth. I was afraid to look at them, afraid as if their fear might be a solid thing. The fear that things might be erased, the daily lives and homes and nuisances abandon us. But even then, a certain rhythm setting in. My lungs somehow become an instrument, and feet and mutterings and half-whole words now become a measure of time. As they move, I slow become embedded, their shoulders knock against my own, just in time.
Thank you, Jack. I'd like to thank everybody who contributed to the open mic, and particularly for staying in time. We had 24 poets in 51 minutes on the open mic. And Jack, this is something special.